in a small bakery in Lörrach, Germany, day after day. The grain
is ground
into flour. The flour is mixed with the salt, the water, and the yeast. They're mixed together, and then they're formed, kneaded into dough. And then that dough is put into the oven, and slowly, slowly that bread, that soft dough begins to rise, and an aroma fills that bakery. The smell of fresh bread. That scent escapes underneath the door and out through a small window, and it moves into the block, into the next block. The word goes out. The delivery trucks go into the city, delivering the bread to the baker shops, to the shopping stores in the city. And a small town is fed with the fresh bread. In 1997, I visited this small bakery, and I grinded the grain, and I formed the dough, and then smiles and laughter are good. And then, as that bread rose, and as I took that deep breath of that fresh bread, I feasted on the bread. And I learned in German, if I said it with a smile on my face at just the right time, "Ich liebe Brötchen," which means I love small bread rolls. And if I said this even in the broken German that I knew, I would get more bread to feast on. And as I went to the youth hostel that night and laid my head on the pillow, a big smile came on my face and rolled around in my head the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, or our bread that we need. Entrust to us day after day. And I lifted my eyes up and thought about the abundance that I had had that day. And I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. In a small village in Galilee, a family prepared for the harvest. Dad was building a small shed with the hopes that this year, maybe this year, he could fill it with grain. Grain that could last their family at least 6 months. The sons and the daughters grinded that grain into flour with a hard rock. It was incredibly difficult work. 8 to 10 hours, day by day. And of course, Mom mixed that dough together, and she placed the dough around a wood fire stove. And after a long day, they met in their one bedroom house. They, in a circle with one another, they had their flat bread in hand, and they dipped it into olive oil and into spiced vinegar. They bowed their heads, and they said with one another the traditional Jewish prayer of thanks. Others in Galilee were not so fortunate. Herod Antipas, the governor of Galilee, ruled with a strong arm. Herod Antipas would tax these small farmers at an incredibly high rate so that these farmers were forced to sell their land to rich urban dwellers. These rich urban dwellers would then profit by using these same farmers on their own land as sharecroppers. These farmers lived day by day as subsistence farmers, stuck in a system where they could never get ahead. Into the same region, at this same exact time period in the first century, a rabbi traveled from village to village in sanctuaries on the city streets and in to the village and farmlands themselves. And this rabbi proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven has come near. This was a confession that the switch had been pulled. The world could now be different. A new creation here and now was bursting forth. The possibilities were endless. But the world would have to change its core values. The core values of the world would now be service to one another, compassion for one another, forgiveness, even forgiveness of debts, jubilee for the world. And we would also have to embody the core value of love. Love, even for our enemies. The rabbi Jesus was a dangerous man in Galilee. And so we come to Matthew 6, 11. In just a chapter and a half from chapter 4, when Jesus announces this kingdom, we come to the prayer, our bread that we need, entrust to us day after day. It's interesting that Jesus invites us to prayer, because if this kingdom is to work its way into our life, into our world, we're going to have to pray. Jesus' kingdom announcement announced that something had started here and was set into motion so that one day there would be a final victory, a place where no tears were shed. For those of us who are techie nerds, Jesus was telling us that a new upgrade was here. An operating system that would finally end all operating systems. For the gardeners, for the farmers among us, Jesus was saying, the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest are here. The fullness of the harvest would one day be realized. To the sports fans here, Jesus was saying that the true and real game changer has come. Life can now be played on a whole nother level. And to those of us who love nature, Jesus' kingdom announcement was that rain is beginning to fall, and one day all of the world, everyone, could be drenched in God's love. But it would take prayer, and it would take the lives of millions to transform the world. It would take thousands and thousands of years, because the kingdom of love is a lot slower than Herod Antipas. And so we pray. Our bread, the bread that we planted, the bread that we tilled, the bread that we harvested, the bread that we mixed, the bread that we grinded, the bread that we baked, our bread, or the bread that we bought at Whole Foods. For these agrarian people, this was their bread, but they acknowledged with the R that this bread did have another reality, like the beginning of the prayer. Our Father, God, the creator and sustainer of life, the one who made the seasons to change, the one who allowed the rain to come, the one who allowed growth and nutrients in the soil. This was a covenant relationship between the land and between God to create bread. Even if you shop at Whole Foods, we all have a responsibility to be stewards of God's resources. The prayer acknowledges and reminds us that bread is a symbol of covenant, the committed relationship between God and human beings. Every time you eat the bread, you are given the gift. You are given the gift of kingdom bread. The second phrase in this prayer says that we need. This phrase reminds us that this symbol of bread is not only material, but also spiritual. But it's tied together. We need bread that materially nourishes us, but that also spiritually sustains our very being. These early Christians knew that the material and the spiritual were tied together and could never be taken apart. We all have many needs. We need the bread of hope, the bread of love, the bread of support and encouragement and nurture from our brothers and sisters, friends and family and community. Without it, we will die. The last phrase tells us this: entrust to us day after day. The word entrust, we're used to a different word. We're used to the word give to us. But the range of this Greek word, didomai, has a stronger meaning. It means to bestow, to give, to entrust. We are given the gift of bread. We are given kingdom bread. So wherever you are today, wherever you've been this morning, wherever you've been this week, whatever fears and frustrations and failures await you, you are given the gift of kingdom bread. Have you lost your way, struggling to find your way through the wilderness? God gives you kingdom bread. Are you lonely? Have you been betrayed by friends or family, someone you would never have expected? God gives you this morning kingdom bread. Have you lost someone? Have you grown distant from your spouse? God gives to you that kingdom bread. Do you feel discouraged? Do you feel insignificant? How long has it been that you realized how much you had, that abundance, and you cried out in thanks for the kingdom bread that was given to you? The celebration had finally come. It had been a tough week in the life of Jesus. It had been his last week. Controversies, resistance came from every direction. Some of the Jewish and Roman authorities were plotting to kill him. The end was near. But Jews all over the world celebrated the Passover. And so his disciples went and set the table. The table was set with bread and with wine. And everyone was invited. You were invited. And with wobbly knees and a racing heart, you step into that room. It's a small room. You're amazed by the room's warmth. It's heavy in there. Things are coming to a head, but there's light laughter. There's friendly conversation. You notice with your eyes that Christians from the past, the present, and the future are all in this room. And then a realization hits you. At this table, at the Lord's table, the pivot of the world, the pivot of love is made possible. This is kingdom bread given to you to feed the world. Then Jesus breaks the bread. You notice his eyes. His eyes are unassuming, but his whole body is permeated by love. And he says, "Take, eat. This is my body." Heads turn to the right and to the left. Whispers everywhere. You didn't read this part of the story, did you? And you hear a young girl say these words: "He's becoming the bread of life. He's becoming a gift to us so that we can be the gift to others." You say deep in your soul, "No, not this way. It shouldn't happen this way." And you're in good company because most of the disciples felt the same way. And then it's your turn. The bread comes to you. You have been entrusted. How many children in our world go without the simple pleasure of eating fresh, hot bread How many people in our world go without the bread of love, the bread of support, the bread of encouragement and nurture? When I think about my life, when I think about all the pastors, all the teachers, all that my mom and dad have done for me, I'm overwhelmed by a sense of gratitude, by a sense that I have been given in abundance. And I lift my head and all I can say is, Lord, use me, use me, use me. Will you eat the bread? And will you share the bread?